Good morning, everyone. So happy to be here. It's my second Sunday of being your new pastor. And I'd like to begin by saying thank you for your prayer. Thank you for the kind support and the friendliness that you extend to me. And I feel very welcome here. And people here all have smiles and very kind, you know, at least for now, maybe for honeymoon. But I pray that our partnership in the gospel, our relationship in Christ will continue to grow. We will set our heart to follow Christ, and I'm sure he will take us to wonderful places of victories in Christ that we can claim for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And we will together build this church following God's will and to glorify him so that all may know that the God we believe, that we follow, is a true, living, wonderful, gracious God. And I'm so happy, probably you have received my email as the elders asked me to do, to confirm that we have another new pastor coming. It's Pastor Winston. I think you have met him, right? And I did not know him before, but through the leaders of this church, I was introduced, and I got to know him, a very kind, gentle shepherd, a servant of God, that I'm really delighted to come to know him. And I look forward to days that we develop very deep spiritual friendship and in this spiritual family. So I'm very happy for you and for myself, so that there will be an English pastor joining and to shepherd, to lead, to serve together. And that's wonderful news. I don't know why, but probably your prayers are very effective. Maybe your prayer has been very fervent and very sincere. And God, in his sovereign will, sent two pastors almost at the same time to your church. I think God has something great in store for this church and for every one of us. Amen? So let's look up to God and with expectancy, and we will also be ready to join our Lord in whatever he leads us to do for his namesake, okay? Now, this morning, I'd like to open up the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and talk to you about this wonderful, great promise that God gave to Joshua, the son of Nun, the wonderful assistance of Moses and the successor of this leadership. And this great promise was set in the context of claiming the promised land, okay? So, I will be with you. What does it mean in this context as we claim the promised land that Christ, in Christ, for his children? Now, I read an article about the United States Secret Service. I think probably you have familiar with it in some sense by seeing some movies. I learned that, do you know it's a part of the Homeland Security Department and also employ over 4,300 agents, okay, and to protect the president, to safeguard the currency, the nation's money supply against counterfeiting. Now, I read about, in order to give the president constant 24/7 protection, those agents stick close, extremely close to him wherever he goes, okay? When the president is walking, when he's riding in a limousine, or when he is on vacation on a ski slope or by the beach or in a lake, the Secret Service agents were there, surrounding him, jogging by his car, skiing or fishing, right beside the president. If the president goes scuba diving, okay, those agents would we put on the mask and the tanks and just dive and go with him under the water. Now, I imagine it would be great to have someone to stick by you so close, right? To protect you and to be with you, to help you 24/7. And especially if it's not out of duty, but because you are someone special. Then I connected to my blessing in Christ. You know, just like Joshua, we know a God to be such a special friend, right? He's with us 24/7, not because of what we have done, achieved, but because in Christ, we are considered precious, special. Because do you know every child of God in God's eye, because through Christ, we are considered as redeemed, we are precious, we are wonderful, and we have a great destiny. Okay, and Joshua, as we open this passage, he knew such a friend, his Almighty God. As Joshua stood by the on the east side of Jordan, by the border of Canaan, ready to lead the people into the promised land, the land that God promised to give to them, to the ancestor and their descendants. Now, in this passage, God repeatedly said to Moses, to Joshua, that I will be with you. Okay, so today I want to talk to you, what does it mean by God's promise of his presence in this context of claiming a promised land. Now, about a promised land, the land of Canaan is not a picture of heaven, because the book of Joshua is a book about warfare, about sufferings, about victories. And in heaven, there's no war. There's no tears, there's no enemies, no. There's no suffering, there's no death. All has been accomplished by the work of Christ on the cross. So Canaan is not heaven, but it's a picture, a spiritual picture of a promised land, of a land of fulfillment, of a place of destiny for the child, every child of God. It's a place of finding the fulfillment in Christ, finding the satisfaction, finding that strength, finding the victories in Christ. So when we are saved, the importance of this spiritual picture and this promise of God is that when we are saved, okay, we are engaged constantly in spiritual warfare, okay, with a spiritual enemy who is greater than we are. Okay, we are not against flesh and blood. We are against the spiritual enemy and the prince of darkness, Satan and all the forces of darkness, you know, who is more powerful than we are. In our own strength, we are no match. Okay, but the good news is the one who is inside us, as 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 said, okay, is greater than is outside of us. Meaning, the Holy Spirit that through Christ's redemptive work on Christ deposited in us, inside us, abide with us, is greater, is more powerful than any other forces that's outside of us. Amen? And that's why we can be sure of victory because of what Christ has done. In fact, the Bible tells us that every Christian is a victor, a warrior, a victor through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, that's the promise we have. That's the expectation we have as we walk every day in victory, claiming the promises and overcoming all spiritual enemies coming our way. Now, the background of this passage, as we have just read, is this. After being led out of Egypt by Moses, the people Israel, okay, is over 2 million, some estimate, have been wandering through the deserts for 40 years because of disobedience, because of disbelief. As 40 years ago, they had a chance of entering the promised land, but they were in disbelief. They were in fear. Fear always keeps us in the desert, in the wilderness. Only faith will bring us through desert into a promised land. So Joshua is now the new leader. Moses died, and Joshua is preparing his people to take the land that God promised them. So this passage begins with God telling Joshua how to take the first move. Okay? So a promised land to us is a land of purpose, of victory, of peace, of joy, of everything in Christ that in store for us. It's a place where you can be sure about your calling, about your destiny in Christ, about your life as a believer, about your satisfaction, fulfillment in your relationship, in your job. You have something higher and greater in front of you. So as God is telling Joshua how to make the first move, claiming the promised land, leading the people, we are being encouraged to how to make the move and how to claim this promise of the presence of God as we finding the promise of fulfillment, destiny, and contentment, joy, and strength, and victory in Christ. Now, some of us today, sometimes we feel we just left the bondage some time ago, and we never make a day or week of in a spiritual state of abundance in our spiritual life. We feel we are stuck as a Christian. We feel our prayer is powerless. We feel our walk in Christ is, we often walk and like a defeated soldier. And so it's time that through God's word, we receive what God promises. So there are five things, but because of time, if I couldn't finish the last two, we'll pick it up next time, okay? What does this promise of God's presence in claiming our promised land means to us? Number one, it means it's a call, okay? We have read this passage. It means a call to turn a new page. In verse 2, notice, it said here, Moses, my servant, is dead. God reminded Joshua. Okay? You need to get up and lead the people and turn the page. Okay? So that means you need to be able to accept change in your life. Now, to Joshua, Moses was his greatest mentor. To Israelites, Moses was the greatest servant and spiritual leader. Okay, they mourn, but they're still very impressed and very in love with Moses, their leader. But God's promise of His presence means new change. Often, spiritual intimacy with God means new change. Okay, so we need to be able to accept change in our life. So God is telling Joshua, you need to let go of the past. You must be willing to go forward, to start afresh, okay? So Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses was a great man of God. Moses was anointed. Moses was prepared by God to do a mighty work. Through him, God saved the people of Israel from slavery. Through Moses, God parted the waters of the Red Sea. Through Moses, God delivered the Ten Commandments. Moses was a great man, but he didn't live forever. So verse 2, Joshua, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. God was saying, turn the page, Joshua. Moses was a great man. He was a great servant, but he's gone. It's time for you to move on because my plan for you will not stop here. So turn the page, let go of the past. It's the same message to us. It's time to move on. You know, the greatest obstacle to experience the abundance in God in our life today is our refusal to let go of the past, to let go of our failures. We often, as one writer said, live in the life of a rear mirror. You know, in a car, there's a big window in front of you. There's a small rear mirror also in front of you. But the reason the mirror for the rear mirror is so small because what's ahead is more important than what's behind you. Okay? The future in front of every child of God, of every church, is brighter than before because not of what we can, but because what Christ has accomplished. Okay? As one writer said, the past should be a springboard, not a hammock.
He's saying that we shouldn't live in the past, but we can use the lessons we learned in the past to move us forward. It helps us to turn the page. So it's the same in life. You got to let go of the past, your mistakes in the past, your failures in the past, your disappointments, your bitterness, someone did you wrong, or someone stole your chance of success. You got to let go to move into the future, because God has a brighter future for you. No matter what you have done, what mistake you made, in Christ, there's always a second and a second chance for us, because He is the conqueror. Okay. So God said to God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. It's time for you to move on. So you need to ask yourself today, what page in your life need to be turned? Okay. What part of the past are you hanging on to so that you cannot move forward to claim, to experience the spiritual abundance in Christ? Okay. What is holding you back? Whatever is in your past that is blocking your future, let go of it. Turn a new page. Okay? So God said, I am with you, so you need to have a new change. Turn a new page. And then, I am with you, God's promise of His presence, also means a call to claim the land. Okay? Because intimacy always means not only new change, but also means new direction. So God reminded Joshua here, the Lord has already given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. And Joshua is to lead the people into the land to claim it, because the land has been promised by God over the centuries. Okay? In fact, it was given to them back in Genesis, right at the beginning of the book. Okay? Chapter 12, verse 7, to Abraham, I will give this land to you and to your descendants. And this promise of God, Abrahamic covenant, as the theologian term it, was reaffirmed to every generation of the nation. The land was indeed their land already. So there's no need for them to continue wandering around the wilderness. They had a land. All they have to do is to claim it. So as you look around through the weeks, you can see Christians who live defeated, okay, who struggles with sins, who wander around in spiritual poverty, as seems that God is dead. Okay, they complain, they depress, they feel defeated, okay, they feel bitter. You know, that's not the life to live as a Christian, right? We live as a victors, not as victims. Right? Because Christ has conquered death. Christ is the conquering king. Okay? So it doesn't have to be that way, brothers and sisters. God has a place of spiritual victory for us, promise for us. Okay? I believe in my heart that God did not save you and I to see us defeated, depressed, bitter, right? But walk tall, and with full confidence and full faith every day, okay, to witness that there's a living God, there's a resurrected Redeemer, okay, that's with us. Okay. So I believe there's a place of conquest for every child of God. Okay. So as God promised Israelites, He promised us. God wants us to take ownership of every area of our life, just like every territory, as outlined here in this great land. In this passage, God telling Joshua to the Israelites that I'll give you every place that you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Okay? From the Great Sea to the west. And then God named every place that is promised to His children. Okay? So in all these things, as in Romans, Apostle Paul said, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. God make you and I to win, to strive, to succeed, okay, to walk in faith, to walk in victory. Right? This is what God said. conquer, take claim of every area of your life. For example, God doesn't want you to feel defeated in your job. No. He doesn't want you to struggle with your past mistakes, okay, where you are being evaluated as not performed it well. Okay? God wants you to strive. God wants you to trust Him and strive. Okay? And in your family, He doesn't want you to be feel defeated at home with stress and tension, but to abide in Him. Okay? And God doesn't want you to feel worried about your finances. You don't have to be rich to live a worry-free life over your finance. Okay? We need money, yes, but we through money, we experience the provision of God. Right? And God wants you to give you a peace, okay, and take ownership of that area of your life. Okay? And it applies also to our spiritual life. For those of us who are struggling with sins, with disobedience, with burnout, okay, with emotional vacuum, okay, God wants you to know He's with you. He's with you. Okay, claim the land, conquer, by trusting God. Okay, and this is your inheritance. All these areas of your life, every place that you set your foot on, your home, your workplace, your ministry. Even your sport involvement, your neighborhood, your social life, your health, your finance, God is with you in to every place. And He wants you to know that you are a victor in Christ. Claim it. Experience that spiritual abundance, provision, and strength. Okay? So decide today, if you believe in God, or you to believe in your own self, okay? In verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you. Okay? That leads us to the next point. God's promise of His presence also means a call to have confidence in the Lord. In verse 5, it said here, God said to Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, there's a promise of victory over every enemy. There's a promise of the presence and the power of God here. And also, there's a promise of the faithfulness of God. He will never leave us. There's a promise of absolute victory. There's a promise of God to keep His promises. There are over at least 5 promises given to Joshua and to his people and to us. And what did Joshua have to do to make this thing happen? Just one thing. Trust God. Just move forward and trust Him to do the rest. You know, the secret of Christian living is not struggling. It's not performing. It's abiding in Christ Jesus. It's trusting and abiding every moment, every day, because of what Jesus said he is. He is the resurrected Lord. He's conquered death. He is the living and the creator. Okay? And He's the coming King. So just one thing. God is going to give Israel the victory. And Joshua was only the instrument. Okay? God chose to do that. This thing is going to happen. So Joshua is to be part of it. All he had to do is to have faith in God. Okay? So if you don't have faith in God, you will not experience the spiritual victory. But if you have faith in God, you will. A lot of people do not dare to trust God. It's because of fear. Fear of people around them. Fear of everything in the world. But if we fear God more than everything else, we won't live in fear. We will live in faith, right? So God is ever present. He's ever faithful. He gives absolute victory. Just one thing, trust God. As the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You know, the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, was written to a group of Christians who felt defeated, who were under persecution and being forced to abandon their homes and to live in nowhere in the land because of their faith. And they felt depressed, they felt disappointed. And the book of Hebrews was written to encourage them that God will never forsake them. Even though now the environment, everything happens, seems to work against us. But that is just a step into something greater. And also a step of preparing us. Okay? And in Matthew 28, verse 20, the Lord promised before he was ascended to heaven, surely I will move you always to the end of the age. You see, you know, that's why we need to have this confidence in the Lord, as he keep repeatedly telling us. And also, fourthly, the promise of his presence also means a call to be obedient to the word of God. Because intimacy of God often means demanding our obedience. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I said, right? You will follow my commandments. This is true, you know. I got three daughters, you know. If they love me, they will help me to do the chores, take out the garbage. So whenever they didn't do that, I said, you didn't love me. They said, no, we love you, Daddy, but you didn't do what we asked, you know. Oh, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it next time. We're so tired, you know. But Jesus said, if you love God, there's only one thing to prove your love to God. Okay, and to know you are in love with Christ is to do what he asks of us. And all the things he asks of us is nothing but for our own good, for our own growth, for our own spiritual benefits, right? So we can trust him. So it's a call to be obedient to the word of God. Because in verses 7 to 8, God's telling Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know, carry out the word of God, not just to hear it, not just to read it, but to carry out. So the word of God is a very important step as to claim the spiritual victory in Christ every day in every area of our life. Okay? And notice how the Lord telling Joshua how to apply. Okay? Verse 7, he was to keep the word of God. He was to do everything the word of God said to do, not turning from it, not be distracted from it. He was to meditate on it day and night. His mind is to be occupied not with garbage and junk of this world, but with the word of God. Okay? He was to love it, to let his heart be filled with the word of God. Okay? In verse 7 and 8, he was to prosper by honoring the word of God. So there's a lesson for us here this morning, brothers and sisters. Okay? I'm glad we're not under the Old Testament law. We're under the New Testament grace. But it doesn't stop us from submitting ourselves to the Word of God. Because even though we're under grace, we're not under the Old Testament law. But if we think we are free to do anything that we please, this attitude is dangerous and is a guarantee for destruction. If you want to live in the Christian victory today, you must develop a love for the Word of God. You know, just as Joshua was commanded to love it, to meditate on it, and to carry it out. You know, so as Christians, as disciples of Christ, we are to feed on the Bible. We are to live by the Word of God. We will be blessed as these things are true in our lives. You know. So do you have a time, brothers and sisters, every day, set aside, okay, to feed on the Word of God, to through reading of it, meditating of it, express your love and receive the love from God? Do you have that spiritual habit? Do you have that spiritual appetite? If not, it's time to leave your wilderness and go in the promised land and experience the spiritual abundance in Christ. And lastly, but not least, the promise of his presence, I will be with you, is also a call to courage in leadership. Because God himself here three times encourages a Joshua to be strong and courageous. Okay? And these words carry the idea of standing firm, standing strong in face of opposition. Okay? Joshua needs great courage because the enemies across the Jordan River on the other side were strong and tall and fearful. Okay? And Joshua was to lead the people to defeat and claim the land. So God is three times repeatedly telling him, you are leaders, be of courage, be strong. Okay? There's a great need for people, for leaders to stand firm in the Lord. You know, because Christians around us, there are a lot of them, are just falling by the wayside. Okay? So we need to have this strong, courageous spirit to stand firm. We need people here today who will take the lead of godly leadership to be a Christ-like model, example in the churches to make the stand for God. We need to remember the word of Apostle Paul that all that we do will not be in vain because in Christ, all will be, all that Christ promises in Christ will be true and come true. So it's a high time, I think today, as churches or the faith, a Christian faith is being pushed to the margin line. And so it's time for Christians to really take the stand and stand up and to hear God's call to exemplify godly examples and attitudes. So are you standing for God or have you fallen out? Okay. Are you a soldier of Christ or are you withdrawing your stand? So in conclusion, I just want to encourage us, for those of us who are still wandering the wilderness, feeling defeated, depressed, disappointed, bitter, we need to move from the desert into the promised land. Today, you can begin that journey. Okay? Because a place of promises in Christ waits for us. There's a place of strength, joy, peace, fulfillment, destiny, okay? Excitement, joy. Okay? This abundant life that Christ promised to all his believers. Okay? This is how you begin to experience in the weeks to come. So what do? You turn the new page. Okay? You claim your land, the areas of your life. Okay? And expect God to give you dominions in that place, in every area of life. Have confidence in the Lord. Be obedient to his word. And be of strong courage. And be courageous. Okay? Be that kind of a person, woman, or man of God. Be that kind of a leader, okay, in the church. Be that kind of a Christian in the society, in your community, so that people will know in this land of death, there's a living God. Amen? Let's pray. Yeah. Dear Lord God, thank you for your word, encouraging us, showing us your way. Lord, forgive us as we often stay in the valley of defeat, stay in the valley of disappointment, stay in the valley of failure, forgetting that you are the God, you are the great shepherd that's leading us through valleys unto the promised land. Help us to see you in our life. Help us to position ourselves every day, every moment, to be drawn to your intimacy. And Lord, help us to really develop these spiritual appetites, to feed on your word, to see through every circumstances, your presence and your promises surrounding us. And we pray for each other and for ourselves, Lord, that we'll become a victor, we'll become a warrior, we'll become a Joshua, we'll become someone you call us to be, so that, Lord, that we are ready, that we are ready to claim the promises, we claim the territories, that others will see that you are living God, you are a great God in this land. Thank you, Lord. We pray for this church, we pray for our church, that the days ahead, you show us the days ahead, that we may be ready to respond and to be used by you, to build up your church, to proclaim your gospel, and to lift up your name. Thank you, Lord, for this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.